ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with كتاب التوحيد with the explanation فتح المجيد then we are on chapter 22 ما جاء أن بعض هذه الأمة يعبد الأوثان. What occurs regarding the fact that some of this ummah will worship idols. And we reach the second hadith that the author brings. وقوله تعالى قل هل أنبئكم بشر من ذلك مثوبة عند الله من لعنه الله وغضب عليه وجعل منهم القردة والخنازير وعبد الطاغوت. He's saying with the rough explanation, say, shall I inform you of those who are worse than that in the reward which they will receive from Allah? Those whom Allah has cursed and whom he is angry with, and from whom he made, or out of whom he turned some into apes and pigs, and from them there were worshippers of false gods. Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 60. So then the explainer says, with regard to this ayah, Allah the Most High here says to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O Muhammad, shall I inform you people about those who will receive a worse punishment? Shall I inform you people about those who will receive a worse punishment from Allah on the day of resurrection than what you think about us? And it was with regard to the Jews who claimed that they were better than the Muslims and will receive something better on the day of resurrection. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to say to those Jews, shall I not inform you about those who will receive something worse, a worse punishment from Allah on the day of resurrection, than what you think about us? And those people are the ones, are they, the Jews, the ones who carry these characteristics which Allah described by his saying, Man la'anahu Allah, right to the end of the ayah. Those whom Allah has cursed, meaning Allah's curse, his la'an, meaning ab'adahu min rahmatihi. Allah's curse means that when Allah curses someone, he removes him far away from his mercy. وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ, and one whom Allah is angry with, meaning with such anger that Allah will never be pleased with them after that. And then the next part of their characteristic of these Jews, وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرِ, and those whom Allah transformed some of them into apes and some into pigs. Then the explainer brings a report reported by Muslim, and he says, Al-Thawri said, from Al-Qama ibn Marthad, from Al-Mughira ibn Abdullah Al-Yashkuri, from Al-Ma'rur ibn Suwaid, that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about apes and pigs. He was asked about the apes and pigs that are in existence. Are they from the things which Allah transformed? Are they creations which Allah changed? Meaning from the Jews earlier on, whom Allah changed into pigs and swines, are these ones that we see now from that? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah lam yuhlik qawman aw qala lam yamsah qawman fayaj'ala lahum naslan wala aqiban wa innal qiradata wal khanazira kanat qabla dhalik." He replied, that Allah does not destroy a people, or he said, Allah does not transform a people, change them, and then make for them offspring and descendants, and pigs, and apes and pigs used to exist before that, reported by Muslim. So in other words, when Allah destroys a people, or when he changes their form into some other thing, then he doesn't make them have any offspring. They don't have any children and descendants. Rather, the pigs and apes that we see in existence now are a separate part of creation that already existed before. And that these Jews who were changed into pigs and into apes, that was the end. They became like that and then they died. Then the explainer says, and Al-Baghawi said in his tafsir with regard to this ayah, he's saying, قُلْ say, O Muhammad, هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ, shall I inform you, بِشَرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ, with something worse than what you have mentioned. He said, by that he meant their saying, the saying of the Jews, that is, we do not see any people of a religion who have a smaller share in this world or in the hereafter than you people, the Muslims. And we do not see any religion that is worse than your religion. That's what the Jews said to the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to respond to that with this ayah. And he's saying, with something worse than that. And he shall inform you with someone who is worse than what you say about us. So he used the word sharrum, meaning worse than, even though the first thing is not evil at all, the first thing is not bad. I mean, just because it's saying that the Jews in their punishment, it's a language point, that just by saying the Jews will be worse in their punishment, more bad, it doesn't mean that the first thing which is mentioned, the Muslims, are bad whatsoever. And then he gives an evidence for that. He says, as shown by another ayah, the saying of Allah the Most High, قُلْ أَفَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِشَرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ أَفَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِشَرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ النَّارِ, Surah Al-Hajj, Ayat 72. And the ayah was with regard, it was mentioned before, about the recitation of the Qur'an and how the unbelievers hate to hear the Qur'an recited. And then this part of the ayah came with the meaning, shall I inform you that of something that is worse? I mean, worse than the Qur'an being recited. Shall I inform you of something worse than that? The hellfire. And obviously, recitation of the Qur'an is not something bad whatsoever. But the same word was mentioned, shall I inform you of something worse than that? It doesn't mean that the first thing is bad at all. And he's saying, the explainer says, and he's saying, mathubatan. It means thawaban wa jaza'an. It means worse in reward and recompense. And he's saying, indallahi man la'anahu Allah, who is worse in his reward with Allah than one whom Allah has cursed, meaning one whom Allah has put his curse upon. وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ, and with whom Allah is angry, meaning the Jews, again meaning the Jews. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرِ, and from them he made apes and pigs. Then the explainer says, so the apes, the monkeys, they were the ones who disobeyed Allah with regard to the Sabbath day. The story of the fish, and we should know the story of the fish when they were prohibited from catching anything on the day of the Saturday. So what they did, they let the fish enter the harbour. So the fish used to enter the harbour on that day, and then they'd go away because they came to realise that they'll be safe from being caught. So the Jews realised this and they made a trap. They let all the fish enter, and then they put a barrier across the harbour to trap the fish inside. But they didn't take them out of the water. And they waited till the next day, and then they caught all the fish, just to try and evade the ruling that they shouldn't catch fish on the Sabbath, on the day of the Saturday. So they played a trick and thought they were getting round it. So the explainer here says, so those ones who disobeyed Allah with regard to the Saturday, they were turned into apes. And the pigs, they were the ones who disbelieved and denied the table of food that was sent down to Isa alayhi salam. They were changed into pigs. Then he brings a report, and from Ali ibn Abi Talha, who reports from Ibn Abbas, and he didn't hear directly from him, he heard from some of the students of Ibn Abbas. He brings the report, he says, from Ali ibn Abi Talha, from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he said that both of these groups of people who were changed, both the ones who were changed into apes and the ones who were changed into pigs, both of them were the ones, the companions of the Saturday. So the young ones of them, the young people, were changed into monkeys, and the old people from them were changed into pigs. Then the explainer continues, وَأَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتِ, meaning, and from them were those who worshipped at Taghut, those who worshipped false objects of worship. And by that, he says, by that it means that they obeyed Shaitan in those false ideas that he gave to them. Their worship of the Taghut in this sense here was their obeying Satan in the false ideas which he gave to them. Then he gives some different recitations of that ayah, and he says, Ibn Mas'ud read it as wa abadu taghut in the plural, and Hamza read it wa abuda, and the saying, and he read at taghuti, meaning servant of, and they are two correct dialects in the language. And then he goes on and he brings about a page and a half of points of different recitations of the ayah, wa abada taghut, wa abuda taghut, and he brings language points connected with that. And we'll leave that, and anyone who wants to go into it can go to those who know the language better. Then with regard to the points of benefit from the ayah, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he brings some points of benefit for this ayah. And he brings 8 points of benefit. He says, and from the benefits of this ayah are what follows. Firstly, establishing your argument against an opponent and using a proof against him with something that he is not able to deny, with the meaning that when you are disputing with someone, you dispute with him with something that he is not able to deny. Because the Jews, they used to know of the fact that there was amongst them some people whom Allah was angry with, and whom Allah had cursed, and whom he had changed into apes and into pigs. So in other words, the Jews knew this fact and they weren't able to deny it. They knew it as a fact. So if they affirm that, and then at the same time they mock the Muslims, then we say to them, who should be the ones who are mocked? The ones who received all of these punishments, or people who are free from all of these things? The people who had all these four things, Allah had cursed them, Allah is angry with them, will always be angry with them, and Allah changed them into pigs and into apes. These people, should you mock, or the Muslims who are free from all of that? And the answer is, he says, those who received all of these punishments, they deserve more that they should be mocked. Then the second point of benefit the Shaykh brings from the ayah is that people will differ in their levels before Allah, as shown by the saying of Allah the Most High, بِشَرٍ مِّن ذَلِكَ مَثُوبَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Shall I inform you of one who is worse in the reward he receives from Allah? So in other words, people will be of levels in the reward they receive from Allah. And he says, and there is no doubt that the people differ through increase in iman and decrease of iman, and the reward that will result from that. And the third point of benefit that he brings is, he says, the evil condition of the Jews, those who received all of these punishments with regard to Al-La'an, being cursed, and Al-Ghadab, Allah's anger, and Al-Mask, and being transformed into apes and pigs, and the last one, and that some of them were worshippers of idols, worshippers of false gods, and ones who obeyed Satan. So five different things. Then the fourth point of benefit, he says, is affirmation of Allah's actions, al-ikhtiyariyah, that Allah has certain actions which he does by choice, and that Allah the perfect does whatever he wishes, due to his saying, la'anahullah, the one whom Allah has cursed. Allah cursed him, because cursing is an attribute of Allah's relating to an action. An attribute relating to an action. He's cursing someone is an action from him. Then the fifth point of benefit is affirmation of al-ghadab, affirmation of anger for Allah, due to his saying, wa ghadiba alayhi, and Allah was angry with him. And the sixth point of benefit is affirmation of power and ability for Allah, because of his saying, وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرَ, and Allah made from them, or made them into monkeys and pigs. So Allah had the ability to do that, and Allah did it. And then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen deals with the point that came briefly in the explanation. Does that mean the same pigs and monkeys that we see now are descendants of those Jews? And he gives the same answer that came in the Sharh, that no, and he gives the same hadith, that the pigs and monkeys that we see now, they came from ones before, which were even in existence before this happened. Then the seventh point of benefit he brings is that punishments, they are given of the same type as the action that was done. The punishment befits the crime, and is of the same type of the crime that was done. He says, because those ones who were changed into apes, the punishment being they were changed into apes. He says, and apes are the thing that most closely, are the animal that most closely resembles people. He says, because what they did, the ones who transgressed about the Saturday, he says, what they were doing was that they did something, did an action, which outwardly seemed lawful. They made it look, they knew what they were doing, but they did something so that it would look outwardly as if they were doing something lawful, when in actual fact, it was prohibited. Because they were prohibited from catching fish. So what they did, they trapped them in the harbour. They didn't take them out of the water, they just trapped them in the harbour. They said, we won't take them out of the water until tomorrow. So it looked as if they weren't actually catching, they tried to make it seem as if they weren't catching the fish. Of course they were, they trapped them in the harbour, and next day they just took them out of the water. And as the Sheikh said, and that was because it was prohibited for them to take fish and hunt fish on the day of Saturday. And this was a test for them from Allah. So when Saturday used to come, that ocean used to fill up with fish, and there used to be so many that they could be seen on top of the water. And then on other days the fish would go away and disappear. So when this kept happening for a long time, they made nets, and they used to let down the nets on the Friday, after Friday they would pick up the nets and allow the fish to enter. And when the day of Sunday came, they would be trapped. They would trap the fish and be able to take them. So this was just a plot, a stratagem, a way round that we're trying to get round the regulation. And therefore, they were changed into an animal which resembles a human, but is not a human, and that is a monkey. Just as Allah the Most High said in the Ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 65, كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ, be apes who are despicable or lowly. So this shows that the punishment they received resembled the action that they had done. And this principle is clearly shown by another Ayah, Surah Al-Ankabut, Ayah 40, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ, where Allah states that everybody, He seizes them for the particular sin that they've done. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen brings the eighth and last point of benefit and says, and that those Jews became people who used to worship At-Taghut. They used to worship false objects of worship. And there is no doubt that even until today they still worship that, because they worshipped Satan at that time, and they obeyed Satan, and they disobeyed Allah, and they disobeyed His Messenger. That being, as we know, worship. Then to the third ayah that the author rahimahullah brings, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَأْتَخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا, Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, Ayah 21. With a rough explanation, and it's with regard to the story about the young men who retreated to the cave. So with a rough explanation, then those who gain the upper hand with regard to their affair said, we will take a masjid, we will take a place of prayer over them. Thinking them dead in the cave, they said, we will take a place of prayer upon them. The explainer says, what is meant is that those people did something blameworthy to those youths after they had died. I mean, what they had done, they're taking that as a place of prayer, is something blameworthy. Why is it mentioned in this ayah about what they said they would do? Because it was something blameworthy. They're saying that we will take a place of prayer over them, meaning over what was they assumed were their graves. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and how do we know it's blameworthy? Because of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ وَصَالِحِيهِمْ مَسَاجِدْ. The hadith was authentic and preceded a few chapters ago, where he said, Allah's curse is upon the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of their prophets and their righteous people as places of prayer. So in other words, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned they were cursed for that, for taking the places of their prophets and righteous people who died as places of prayer. The explainer said, So what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant by this hadith was to warn his ummah against doing the like of their action. And then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, with regard to that ayah, he brings just 3 points of benefit. Firstly, what is contained in the context of this ayah with regard to the very amazing story, I mean the whole of the start of Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah, the amazing story of what happened there, with regard to the companions of the cave and the very clear signs it contains showing the complete power and wisdom of Allah in the whole story of what happened with them. And the second point of benefit is that one of the causes of building mosques upon graves is al-ghulu, going beyond the limits, having excessive respect and veneration for people who are buried in the graves. Because those who gained ascendancy in the affair of those who were the companions of the cave, they built a place of prayer over them. And why did they do that? They did it because they held that those youths were people deserving of great respect and honor. And so they went beyond bounds in that, and eventually they built a place of prayer over them. And the third and final point of benefit that the Shaykh brings is that al-ghulu, excessive veneration with regard to the graves, even if it is only a small amount, it may lead on to something that is more, on and on growing in size. And therefore, because of this fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ali, when he sent him out, he commanded him, do not leave any image except that you obliterate it, and do not leave any high grave except that you level it. The hadith reported by Muslim in the Book of Funerals. Then the Shaykh, the author rahimahullah, brings a hadith, first hadith in the chapter, an Abi Sa'idin radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, latattabi'unna sanana man kana qablakum hadhwal qudhati bil qudha hatta law dakhalu juhra dabbin ladakhaltumuhu. Qalu, ya Rasulullah, al-Yahud wa al-Nasara. Qal, faman akhrajahu. And from Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will certainly follow the ways of those who came before you to such an extent, or just as one feather on an arrow resembles the next feather, to the extent that if they were to enter a lizard's hole, you would certainly enter it. The people said, O Messenger of Allah, do you mean the Jews and the Christians? He said, who else? Reported by the two of them, meaning Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Then the explainer said, after commenting that this is the context of Muslim, this wording here is the precise wording of Muslim, he said, he's saying that you will follow the sanan. It means the way, the tariq, of those who came before you. And Al-Muhallib, a scholar who was good in the language, he mentioned it's better in the language to put a fatha on it, sanan, instead of sunan. He's saying, حَذْوَ الْقُذَّةِ بالقذة. Just like one arrow resembles another, you'll follow him to as much as or as closely as one arrow, one feather on an arrow resembles another feather on the arrow. That's how closely you will follow them. And he says, and al-qudha is the feather on the arrow, meaning you will follow their way in everything which they did, and you will resemble them in that, just as one feather resembles another feather. And therefore, by this, you will see how these ayahs match up with the heading that the author gave to them. What the explainer means by that is the first two ayahs of the chapter were with regard to the people of the book before, the Jews and the Christians of before. The first ayah and the second ayah and the third ayah, all of them mention things that the people of the book did before. So someone may ask the question, what have these ayahs got to do with the chapter heading? That some of this ummah will worship idols, whereas these ayahs, all they mention is people of the previous ummahs, the Jews and Christians. So the Shaykh is the explainer here, explaining this hadith here. That shows you how all these three ayahs join in with the chapter. Says, meaning that that this ummah will follow exactly what the previous ummahs did, the Jews and the Christians, whatever they did, then this ummah will follow that exactly. And the explainer says, and it happened just as he informed, and this is one of the signs of his prophethood. His saying, حتى لو دخلوا جحر ضب لدخلتموه, to the extent that if they were to enter the hole of a lizard, you would certainly enter it. And he says, and the hadith comes with a different wording in another hadith, حَتَّى لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمْ مَنْ يَأْتِي أُمَّهُ عَلَانِيَةً لَكَانَ فِي أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ. In another hadith he said, to the extent that if there were amongst them someone who had relations with his mother openly, then there would certainly be someone from my ummah who did that. Sheikh Albani declared the hadith Hassan in his check-in of At-Tirmidhi, and he brings it in Silsilat al-Sahiha, number 1348. Then the explainer says, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant that his ummah would not leave anything which the Jews and Christians did, except that they would do it as well. All of it. They will not leave anything from it. And this is why Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, whoever is corrupt from our scholars, then he has some resemblance to the Jews. And whoever is corrupt from our worshippers, then he contains some resemblance to the Christians. Then the explainer says, I say, and how many there are of these two groups? The ones, two groups he just mentioned, those people of knowledge who are corrupt and worshippers who are corrupt. He said, how many of these two groups there are? However, it is from the mercy of Allah the Most High and from His favour that He has made it that this ummah will not all of them unite upon falsehood, as occurs in the hadith of Thawban, which follows shortly, the next hadith in the chapter. Then the explainer says, they're saying, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى قَالَ فَمَنْ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, is it the Jews and Christians you mean? He said, who else? They're saying, meaning, is it the Jews and Christians whose way we will follow? That's what they meant. And he's saying in the hadith, qala faman, is a question in the form critical question. Meaning, then, who are they besides those people? Who is it besides those? Meaning, the answer is, meaning, yes, it is those people. In the way it's said, me, who else? Then, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen brings benefits for this hadith as well, and he says, from the benefits of this hadith, and he says, and he brings 5 points of benefit. Firstly, what the author intended by quoting it. And it is that there will be some of this ummah who worship idols, because that is from the practice of those who came before us. I mean, the Jews and Christians before worshipped idols, so therefore, because of this hadith, there will be people in this ummah who do so. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that we will follow them. Then the second point of benefit, and the benefit that can also be taken from what is contained in the speech here, is a warning against following those people who came before us in disobedience to Allah. A warning in following them upon disobedience to Allah. And the third point of benefit is that a person should be aware of what they used to be upon, what the Jews and Christians, the people before us, were upon, with regard to those matters which we should beware of and therefore avoid. And most of that, meaning statements of what they were upon that needs to be avoided, most of that, and all praises for Allah, is mentioned in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Obviously it's mentioned there in the Qur'an and Sunnah, not just so that we should be aware of what they used to get up to, but it's mentioned so that we should avoid it. Then the Shaykh said, the fourth point of benefit is how seriously the companions took this to be, this affair of following those before, how seriously the companions took it to be. Because of their saying, the Jews and the Christians, because that was a question, and the form of it shows that they were giving seriousness to it, meaning that would be something very serious, that we should follow those who came before us after the guidance came to us with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, that the guidance came with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we should follow the people who came before. That would be something extremely serious. And then the Shaykh brings the fifth point of benefit, which is that the greater the distance of time between a person and between messengership, then the further that person will be from the truth, the further distance he will be away from the truth. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith was informing about something in the future, not something at present at that time. And also because it is a fact that one of the ways of those who were before us is that when time became prolonged upon them, then their hearts became hard. And the Shaykh mentioned the ayah, Surah Al-Hadid, ayah 16. أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. With a rough explanation, has the time not come for those who believe that their hearts should submit to the remembrance of Allah and to that of the truth that has come down, to the truth that has come down, and that they should not be like those who were given the book before, upon whom the time became prolonged, and therefore their hearts became hard, and many of them were evildoers. Then the Shaykh said, so if long passage of time is a reason for hearts becoming hard amongst those who were before us, then it will be a reason as well for us. And this is witnessed to by what is reported in Al-Bukhari from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that he said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or right, he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لا يأتي عليكم زمان إلا وما بعده أشر منه حتى تلقوا ربكم. He said, there will not come upon you a time except that the time that is after it will be worse than it until you meet your Lord. Reported by Al-Bukhari in the Book of Al-Fitan, Book of Trials and Tribulations. And the Shaykh said, and whoever examines the states of this Ummah, he will find the affair to be just like that. But then he makes the important point, same point that Shaykh Al-Albani made in Silsila, however, we must know the difference between the general rule and the case of individuals. So the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu is an authentic hadith in its chain of narration and in its text, because the chain of narration contains nothing, or rather the text contains nothing to contradict what is authentic, and the chain of narration is in Al-Bukhari. But the hadith of Anas refers to the population in general. And so we find that amongst the followers of the Tabi'een, we will find some individuals amongst them who are better than the generation before them. Some individuals who are better than many of the Tabi'een. So I say, therefore, do not give up hope. We should not let narrations like this cause us to give up hope, and say that it is not possible in our time to find the like of the people who were before. We should not say that, because we rather say that this hadith, the hadith of Anas, there will not come upon you a time except the time after it is worse. The like of this hadith, what is meant by that is the population in general, all together, all the people as a whole. And then he gives an example to make it clear. He says, if you wish to have it made clear to you, then look at the case of men in general and women in general. Which is better, men or women? And he says, the answer is that men are better than women. As Allah the Most High said, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 228. And men have a rank over the women. However, there are to be found amongst the women some individual women who are better than many men. So we should know the difference between a general rule and individual cases. And he says, so if we look at a generation of people altogether, all of the people of one generation, then we will find that the generation that follows it altogether is worse. Not by looking at individuals, every individual in them, nor by looking at one place to the exclusion of others. Because it may be the case that one nation of people in one area may raise up, it may get better and better. For example, if scholars arise amongst them and Allah brings benefit through them, then they will be better, the next generation will be better than the one which came before. But as for the, then he makes the exception, an exception, he says, but as for the companions, then there will be nobody who will equal them with regard to the excellence of companionship. I mean, there will not be individuals coming after in the Tabi'een or Tabi'een and so on. There will be no individual who is better than them in the sense of their being companions, because nobody else can reach companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen asks a final question with regard to this hadith and says, question, what is the wisdom in this ummah being put to trial with this affair? The affair, you will certainly follow the ways of those who came before you. A trial for us, that we'll, this ummah will follow exactly the ways of those who came before. What is the wisdom in that? and in there being every evil that was found before in the nations before being found in this ummah. Then he says the response to that is, the wisdom is that through this, the perfection of the religion will be made clear. Because the religion opposes all of these manners. Islam opposes all of these things. And when it opposes them, then it shows that every one of these deficiencies which was found in the nations before, it was a deficiency. And it will show and make clear the perfection of the Islamic legislation and how perfect it is. Because matters will not be made clear except when they are compared with their opposites. As it is said, through their opposites, affairs will be made clear. That's where the Shaykh finishes. And they give an example of that. They say, for example, the daytime. You wouldn't know what the daytime was if there wasn't any night. And because the night is there, then when the night goes, the day comes. Therefore, you know what the day is. And so on. And likewise, the truth would not be known except with there being falsehood there. So the truth is then made clear. And we'll leave it there. And the next hadith of the chapter is the Muslim's hadith from Thawban, the last hadith of the chapter. And we'll leave it there till next time, inshaAllah. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. I think quickly need clarifying. With regard to this ayah from Surah Al-Kahf, then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen brought a point of benefit. The third point of benefit was that al-ghulu, going beyond the limits with regard to the graves, excessive veneration with regard to the graves, even if it is a small amount of it is done, then it may lead on to something that is worse than it. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ sent Ali radiallahu anhu to cut this off altogether. He told him to go out and to obliterate any image and to level any grave that was raised up. Rejected the food that was sent down to Israel. So. According to Talha, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah pointed out that with regard, we heard that the Jews who were changed into apes, the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen gave a reason why they were changed into apes, some wisdom there, and that their punishment was matched their crime. And according to Talha, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in his book Iqtida' al-Sirat al-Mustaqim that those Jews who were changed into pigs, that likewise what they were changed into fitted what they had done, because there were people who rejected the food that was sent down to Isa alayhi salam. They rejected that lawful food that was sent down. They rejected it and instead did that which is haram. So they were changed into pigs, an animal which leaves aside good and wholesome food and goes and eats dirty and filthy and food that he shouldn't be eating, so that they were changed into that. And likewise, that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah pointed out in his book Iqtidar Sirat al-Mustaqim, that is why you will see in the faces of many of the Imams of the Rafida, you'll see the resemblance to pigs in the face if you look at their faces. If you have the misfortune of having to look in their faces, you will see a resemblance to the pigs, because obviously the Rafida are followers of the Jews. They were followers of the Jews, they were founded by the Jews, they were always with the Jews. In the present day they are political allies of the Jews, and when the Dajjal comes, it will be followed by people from Persia. Allah. Subhanakallah.